Good morning. Good morning. I hate to break up this nice visity sound. It's a very good sound. Welcome to Zion. Welcome to our worship service this morning. Even if you think you're a visitor, you aren't. If you came here to worship God, if you came here to fellowship with brothers and sisters, this time and this place is yours. You're not a visitor. You belong. If, though, this is the first time you've been here, you might notice in front of you there's a little card and hopefully a little pencil, and we'd like it if you would fill that out for us. Let's stand and greet everyone. Make sure everyone is welcomed. You can hug if you like. We encourage that. I should have asked you, if you have an announcement to make, come forward now for that. Anyone with an announcement?
Hello. Things are changing. You may have heard Jana and me and Karen Troh and Kara Krupp speak about how last fall's Deep Faith Conference has gotten us to thinking about Christian education and faith formation for an era of new technology and of greater options and mobility in our lives. And we also look forward down the road and we see our Sunday school, vacation Bible school, and middle school and youth group especially being bigger than they have been of late. And it is time to unpack the meaning of Zion's vision statement for our different ministries, like Christian education and faith formation. And so Zion's Church Council has affirmed the intentions of our pastoral leadership team, that's the elders and Jana and me, and of our Christian education department, to spend some time starting this summer to work on drawing up a vision, programs, and planning for Christian education and faith formation, especially for middle school and senior high youth. And that will mean getting parents and other interested, involved, invested people together in some meetings to consider what these ministries should be like going forward, what we expect of staff and volunteers, and what we expect of youth, as well as what we are willing to contribute and covenant for as parents, mentors, sponsors, and more. And out of that process, we hope will come something like a 4-year cycle of subjects and topics for senior high classes and senior high groups to address, to cover, as well as values that we want youth to learn and to embody, and ideas for learning activities, socializing, Bible themes, and more. Which also means, maybe it's a long way of getting up to saying that you might get tapped on the shoulder to be part of a task group of 5 or 6 people to help lead this process, arrange for meetings and interviews with parents and other interested people, reflect on the results, and put together some sort of program and best practices going forward. Or maybe you feel already a burning desire to be part of this process. And if so, please contact me or Jana and let us know. I know that summer is time when we are often busy and traveling, but nothing in this process requires that all of us must be present every time in all the activities, the same places, for the same events. And the work of this Youth Ministry Vision Task Force should be done by early next fall, I hope. So please come again to Jana or me to let us know if you're interested, or think seriously if we come tap you on the shoulder. Thanks.
Just in case I missed somebody that wants to help pick up our coins today, we have plenty of cups, and this is the first of many times that we will gather your coins. Thank you.
The theme for today's worship is love. And so I thought I would look up in my Bible the earliest uses of the word love. And I found some very interesting things. The six first uses of the word love, and I want to read them to you. Genesis 22:2. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah." And then in the 27th chapter of Genesis, Isaac, old ancient Isaac, says to his son, "Now then, take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and prepare for me savory food, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, and I might bless you before I die." And then in the 29th chapter of Genesis, Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, "Because the Lord has looked on my affliction, surely now my husband will love me." And then in Exodus, "You shall not make for yourselves a graven image of any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the water beneath the earth. You shall not bow to them or serve them, for the Lord your God am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments." And then again in Exodus, "But if a slave plainly says to his master, 'I love my master and my wife and my children, I will not go free,' then the master will bring him to God, and he shall bring him to the door or the doorpost, and his master will bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him for life." And then in Leviticus, "You shall not take vengeance or hold any grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Amazingly diverse word. The love of a father for his only son. Attraction to a delicacy that we like to eat, we use the same word. The love of a husband for his wife, God's love for us, the love of a slave for his master, and the love of neighbors to neighbors. Broad meaning, and I thought surely I would find a bunch of different Hebrew words for those different applications, but no, it's just like English. One word meaning all those different things. Pretty remarkable. The other thing that's remarkable to me is that we don't even see the word until Genesis 22. Literally hundreds of years of biblical history and no use of that word. Adam and Eve, Cain and his family, Lamech and his many wives, Noah and his wife, sons and daughters, Lot and his wife, even Abraham and Sarah, no mention of the word love until we get to Isaac and his love for his son. Let's sing.
Please take your blue hymnals and turn to number 12, and please stand if you're able. Bum, 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 bum. Come, let us all unite to sing. Turn over to number 521. Come thou fount.
Bum, 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 bum. Come thou fount of every mercy. Thank you.
649. This one might be a little bit new to you. This semester at Eastern Mennonite University, I was lucky enough to be one of the monthly hymn sing leaders. And this song is one that we found when we were flipping through, and we kind of like to throw some new ones at them to kind of keep them on their toes. So it might be a little new to us, but it's a beautiful song. And so Karen's going to play through it once, and then we'll start on verse 1.
Well, on the subject of love, I'd be remiss to not mention the fact that today is Mother's Day. If your mother is living, would you stand? If your mother isn't living, would you stand? And the rest of you stay standing. Wow, that just includes about everybody, doesn't it? Now, would you repeat after me? If I can't find it. Okay. Thank you, Mom.
Thank you, Mom.
For helping me turn out so awesome. All right. Let's give our moms a standing ovation. Thank you. You may be seated. Ushers, would you come forward? Let's pray. Lord God, we love you. We thank you for being our Father. And just now we bring our gifts and our tithes, and we pray that you will bless each giver and the uses to which we put this. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Josh, for that music. That was great. Now, children, would you come forward for the story? And don't forget to pick up coins on the way.
Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good. My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
We can make a difference in the world. If we look around, there are people that we see all around the world. Needing food or water or a chance to live in peace. We can make a difference in the world because my coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good. My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
We can make a difference in the world. The gifts we are given to be shared all around the world. It doesn't matter if they're big or small, we'd use their care. We can make a difference in the world because my coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good. My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count. We can make a difference in the world. Together, there's a lot we can achieve all around the world. Witnessing to others that we live what we believe, we can make a difference in the world because my coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good. My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
Goodness, that was a lot, wasn't it? A lot of coins, a lot of gathering. Let's take a deep breath, okay? Yeah. Today's a special day, isn't it? Today's a special day. Did you do anything special? Yeah, this book. You know this book? Why do you think this is a good book today? It is funny. You're right. But is there some reason why you think maybe we should be reading this book today? You don't get it, do you? So this is Mother's Day. Didn't you have to do something special this morning for your mom? Okay. All right. So this is called Love You Forever. Okay. All right. You want to look here? Okay. The pictures are kind of small, so you got to look kind of close. Okay. Here you go. A mother held her new baby and very slowly rocked him back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And while she held him, she sang, I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. And the baby grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was 2 years old, and he ran all around the house. He pulled all the books off the shelves. He pulled all the food out of the refrigerator, and he took his mother's watch, and he flushed it down the toilet, and sometimes his mother would say, this kid is driving me crazy. But at nighttime, when that two-year-old was quiet, she opened the door to his room and crawled across the floor and looked up over the side of the bed. And if he was really asleep, she picked him up and she rocked him back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And while she rocked him, she sang, I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. The little boy grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was 9 years old, and he never wanted to come in for dinner, and he never wanted to take a bath. And when his grandma visited, he always said bad words. Sometimes his mother wanted to sell him to the zoo. Yeah. But at nighttime, when he was asleep, the mother quietly opened the door to his room and crawled across the floor and looked up over the side of the bed. If he was really asleep, she picked up that 9-year-old boy and she rocked him back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And while she rocked him, she sang, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby, you'll be. And the boy grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. And he grew until he was a teenager. He had strange friends and he wore strange clothes. And he listened to strange music. And sometimes his mother felt like she was in a zoo. But at nighttime, when that teenager was asleep, the mother opened the door to his room and crawled across the floor and looked up over the side of the bed. If he was really asleep, she picked up that great big boy and she rocked him back and forth, back and forth, and back and forth. And while she rocked him, she sang, I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby, you'll be. And the teenager grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was a grown-up man. He left home and got a house across town. But sometimes on dark nights, the mother got into her car and drove across town. If all the lights in her son's house were out, she opened his bedroom window and crawled across the floor and looked up over the side of the bed. If that great big man was really asleep, she picked him up and rocked him back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And while she rocked him, she sang, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby, you'll be. Well, that mother, she got older. She got older and older and older. And one day, she called up her son and said, you better come see me because I'm very old and sick. So her son came to see her. And when he came in the door, she tried to sing the song. She sang, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. But she couldn't finish because she was too old and sick. The son went to his mother. He picked her up and rocked her back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And he sang this song. I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my mommy, you'll be. When the son came home that night, he stood for a long time at the top of the stairs. Then he went into the room where his very new baby daughter was sleeping. He picked her up in his arms and very slowly walked her back and forth and back and forth, back and forth. And while he rocked her, he sang, I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby, you'll be. Yeah, you like that song, story? Mm-hmm. You do? It's a nice one, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's a nice one, isn't it? Makes you think about your mommy. Yeah, and it's funny. I bet there's some grown-ups here who think it's kind of sad. Do you think that's strange? Yeah, it's something that happens when you're grown up. You don't have to worry about it for quite a while. It's just something that happens. But right now, it's a funny story. But let's close our eyes. Let's close our eyes, all of us, and pray together. Thank you, God, for mothers and for all the other people who love us, who show us your love every day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Gina, and thank you for bringing all these coins, and I see quite a bit of paper in there, too. It's about, it's not quite a quarter full. Let's see if we can fill it full. The New Testament text this morning for the message comes from the 14th chapter of John, starting at the 15th verse. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you desolate. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live. You will live also. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him.
That's you.
My thoughts this morning will focus on two sentences in the passage you just heard. One where Jesus says, I will not leave you orphans. You heard another translation that says desolate, but the meaning is as orphans. And secondly, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. The first sentence, I will not leave you orphaned, tells us something about how God loves us. And the second one, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, tells us about how we show love to God. But first, as many of us know personally, summers in Midwest Corn Belt country can be just drop-dead hot, sticky, and humid. But fortunately for two middle-aged brothers in that area, their family had a cabin on Kelly's Island in Lake Erie, where breezes across the wide waters of that lake give that island and the other islands there something of a microclimate, about 10 to 15 degrees cooler than the Ohio mainland just to the south. So throughout the summer months, members and friends of these brothers' extended family would come and go to their cabin by ferry out of Port Clinton, Ohio. But there was one week reserved, everyone knew, for just those two brothers to have the cabin to themselves. They could talk with each other, catch up on their lives, and relive something of their cherished childhood by fishing and water skiing and sailing and watching the stars at night. And each year, when the brothers would arrive at the cabin, they would find in the freezer a tin of their mother's prized chocolate chip oatmeal cookies waiting for them. She would bake them and then take them out to the cabin when the ferry ran again, sometime after ice out, and the cabin was opened for the season. But one year, the brothers came to the island expecting for the first time in their lives no oatmeal chocolate chip cookies in the freezer. Because earlier that same year, Mother had succumbed after a long battle with cancer for several years, over which time she grew increasingly frail. And their dad had died several years before that. You know, when the time comes that both our parents have passed, and I personally am blessed to have not hit that stage of life, but when both our parents have passed, and we suddenly, surprisingly, are part of that oldest generation in the extended family system, we may find or feel that, whatever our age, we are just never beyond the age of feeling like orphans. It's a strange and empty feeling, I'm told, more strange and empty than that freezer that will be void of mom's oatmeal chocolate chip cookies for the first time in any summer in memory. And those strange empty feelings would be like those of Jesus' disciples when he told them just before his arrest, in a little while, the world will no longer see me. Wow. And with those and other such strange, shocking words, Jesus was preparing his disciples for life without him, present physically, visibly in the body, no longer to be with them the way he had been for 3 years together in Judea and Galilee. But, Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans, not like those two brothers. going to spend the week together at the family cabin on that island in Lake Erie. And that's the main thing that I wish us to remember from today's gospel passage, that through Jesus, God has promised us a parent-like love, or greater than parent-like love, that will not leave us in the lurch, that will be with us even when we might indeed feel like orphans in this world, whatever the reason. But before I explain more of what such love is, I think I should take a little bit of time to talk about what such love is not. And that's the first question in the outline, if you're following it along in the bulletin outline. What this love is not. The story is told that President Eisenhower prided himself on always finishing up a day's work with a completely clean and clear desk. But if you peeked into his office right around quitting time, when it was time to go, you'd see him sort of sweeping up the last of the paper clips and pens and odd pieces of paper and erasers and scissors and things, and then just pushing them into the top drawer just right under the desk top. That's one reason why his desk was clean every day. And over time, that drawer, I'm told, would fill up with all that kind of clutter, so that finally the time would come where he just needed to go through it, clean it out, throw some things away, or put them where they should go. I mention that because the word love in our use today as well. Ken talked about the variety of meanings in Hebrew, but in our English today, that word love has become something like Eisenhower's cluttered desk drawer. Anything having to do with warm feelings, including indulging any of our wishes, physical attraction, affection, indulgence, emotional attachment, even sex, we now just sort of sweep into the word love indiscriminately and without reflecting on the values of any of those attachments or affections or indulgences. And if feelings were all that Jesus meant whenever he talked about love, then maybe he should have taken up the devil's suggestion to turn stones into bread or to worship him and thereby own all the kingdoms of this world without having to face the cross of Calvary. But the love which Jesus describes and which he models is not everything that we tend to sort of jumble up and sweep together like in Eisenhower's desk drawer. Not everything by way of emotion, attraction, affection, and indulgences. However good some of those things can be, however much they may be expressions of our love. The love of which Jesus speaks today, in today's passage, can sometimes be rather severe or strenuous, sacrificial, austere, and demanding kind of thing. It demanded of him a cross. And we can all breathe a sigh of relief. Though I started talking out this morning about a mother, her sons, and some cookies, this Mother's Day message is not going to be just a sentimental tribute to mothers for all the domestic homemaking things they might do, like baking wonderful cookies. Not all mothers do such things, nor all the time, and nor should they always. And some dads do. I was a stay-at-home dad for 2 years when our daughters were very little, and I loved it. Now, I could never make macaroni and cheese the way they wanted it. And when I asked my neighbor, "Why do my kids prefer or your macaroni and cheese to mine?" she said, "It's the blue box." But those 2 years with the daughter paid off big time, with the daughters paid off big time in my relationship with them. But when the time came for me to work outside of the home, that felt right too. So whether God calls us to marry or not, have children or not, stay at home, work outside the home, as long as we are seeking and following God's call, as long as we are giving and receiving the kind of love which Jesus speaks about here, it's all noble work. And as for what love is, the second question, in today's passage, the love of which Jesus speaks is a love that's actually less about feelings and more about choices and actions on behalf of each other's and our own greatest eternal good. Real love can then sometimes mean a word of correction, as well as affirmation, or a serious questioning as well as a high five. And such love is actually more about giving ourselves to each other and receiving each other as persons. More about that than simply about giving or getting things, even things as good as that mother's homemade oatmeal chocolate chip cookies. Such love that Jesus speaks of then becomes like a truthful and virtuous cycle of giving between giver and receiver, in which we offer and we receive the best of our very selves. And I call it a truthful and virtuous cycle because it has everything to do with virtue and truth, and not just emotion or excitement or attachment or affection, again, as wonderful as those things are. But if we have no concern for truth nor virtue, then love degenerates into mere indulgence. And whenever we simply indulge other people, that's usually more about wanting to be loved or approved by them than about us loving them. Jesus' kind of love is about choices, covenants, and commitments that do not leave us in the lurch, or as Jesus puts it, that do not leave us as orphans. It can be a costly kind of love which stays with us, sticks with us, takes up residence within us, and loves us whether we feel it or not, or even whether we deserve it or not. Oftentimes our behavior might not deserve it, but that doesn't stop love from loving. And we give this kind of love and receive it for love's sake, for God's sake, for the sake of the one being loved, or for the sake of the one showing love to us, and not just because of feelings or desires, but because it's right, because it's what God does, it's what God says to do, and it's how we would want to be treated. And having made those kinds of choices to love, to offer and to receive love often enough, then we will often find that feelings, interest, attachment, and affection arise as a result because of all that we have invested in loving someone else and all that we have invested in the person whom we have shown such love. And it's God who initiates this virtuous and truthful cycle of giving and receiving that love, just out of the overflow of God's own virtuous, truthful, loving being. And that's why we can say always with St. John that God is love, and that we love because God first loved us. St. John goes on to say, and this is love, not that we first loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son into the world as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And that brings me to the third question about two ways, according to this passage, in which God shows us this kind of love. And the first way that God has shown us this kind of love is by coming to us and being with us in the very person of Jesus, his Son. And in the Christ, God has given himself fully, vulnerably, truthfully, virtuously to us. He did not hold anything of himself back from us, nor did he reserve and protect himself from us, as we can tell by the scars on Jesus' hands and feet and his side. But though Jesus has now physically, visibly gone from our space and our sight, we are not abandoned like orphans. The second way in which God shows this love is by giving himself to us again, now continually in the advocate, or as you might have heard, the counselor, the comforter, whom Jesus calls the Spirit of Truth. We know as the Holy Spirit also. And that kind of giving as his Spirit into ours, that might sound a little, say, spooky or abstract or ethereal or theoretical, but actually this is the most intimate and personal way in which God shares God's self with us. For as Jesus says, he abides with you and will be in you. And as for that next question, two ways then in which we show love in response. The first is simply by accepting and welcoming and receiving God as He comes to us to love us and to give Himself to us in Jesus. And then to receive Him and welcome Him again as He comes to us in the person of His Holy Spirit. For indeed, we can show love by graciously receiving as well as graciously giving. God takes it as an act of love on our part whenever and however as we continue to accept and to embrace God's gifts of love to us. And as for the second way in which we respond to God's love and show love, it has to do simply with obedience. Today's reading begins and then it ends with these same words of Jesus. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, it's all great and wonderful when we feel emotional or excited and all supercharged about God and our relationship with God. And sometimes a verse in the Bible or a passage from a hymn, like that third verse out of the second song we sang today, "Oh, to grace, how great a debtor." That does it for me, stirring up that tender, holy excitement by which I can say, that is so my story. But those feelings come and go for only a passing moment. But today, we hear that our love for God is as much about volition as emotion. In other words, it's as much about willing and choosing and acting as it is about feelings or attraction or affection, as wonderful as they are. Jesus says, "They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me." Now, we don't obey his commandments in order to earn his love. Rather, we obey his commandments as a result of accepting and receiving his love and returning it. It would be just as true if Jesus were to say, "Those who love me, you can tell, because they keep my commands." And that brings me to the last question. How God's love to us is like a parent's love. Yes, mom's love, but also dad's. In two ways again. And the first way is that God just simply loves us as he finds us, because of who God is and what his love is like. Not so much because of who or how we are. God loves us out of God's own goodness. It does not depend so much on our own. And just like when we as newborns were placed in our mother's arms for the first time, she did not love us for the doctor whom we might grow up to become someday, or the teacher, or the nurse, or the mechanic, or the athlete, not for the grades that we might get in school, or the money that we might earn when we are adults. No, she loved us, or loves us so powerfully, in part because we simply come from her. We are the overflow of all the love in her heart and in her life and in the marriage and family. And as we grow, her feelings about our actions, our attitudes, our friends, our grades, our choices, those will be over the map. She won't love everything we do. A mother should not. But her love for us as persons, her children, will hopefully remain constant and unchanging. And children need to know that there is nothing they can do to make God, to make mom or dad love them any more than they already do. And there's nothing that children can do to make mother or dad love them any less. They need to know that that love is constant either way. And that's sometimes a reason why children might misbehave, just to test and see if that love continues. And so it is with God's love. What a terrible world it would be if God loved everything about everyone's actions or attitudes or values. But God never stops loving us as his children and as the bearers of his image with the kind of love that Jesus describes. And his Holy Spirit is always with us, present to us, calling us, touching, seeking us, reassuring us of his eternal love, seeking as well, sometimes if necessary, to challenge, encourage, convict, and correct us whenever we need that too. That's one way in which a parent's love is like God's love. And the second way in which a mother's and a father's love are similar to that of God is that just as God loves us supremely as he finds us, just as he finds us, in whatever shape we come to him, God is never content to leave us that way. God is constantly working to make like little Christs out of us. So parents must not only assure the children that they are loved unconditionally, indiscriminately, parents, we must also teach the children how to love and what to love. And what makes it harder is that we have to do this before the children can understand this and appreciate it. But God does much the same with us, teaching us what to love and how to love. Ancient philosophers called that training the affections, or St. Augustine called it setting our loves in order. That we have the capacity to love is just a given. But what we'll love and how well we'll love, now there's the rub. That's why we need formation and training. And like any good parent, God is always teaching us what to love and how to love. I suspect for all the years that those two brothers in that cabin on the island in Lake Erie enjoyed their mother's cookies, their appreciation and their enjoyment of those cookies were all the greater if long before Mom and Dad had taught them to say please and thank you, to write thank you notes for your birthday and your Christmas presents, make your beds in the morning, and always tell the truth. Every gift in life is sweeter with character and gratitude rather than a sense of entitlement. God's love for all his children is like that of a good parent's love for a child in these two ways again. His indwelling spirit as the comforter or advocate or counselor assures us of God's unconditional, unbreakable love for us as persons. And secondly, his spirit of truth is ever and always teaching us what to love most and how to love. In those ways, through the gift and the work of his Spirit, God has not left us as orphans in this world. And if that all still sounds vague and abstract and theoretical, well, here's an illustration. It has to do again with those two brothers on that island in Lake Erie. After they got off the ferry and entered the cabin that first strange summer after their mother's passing, after they began unloading the week's groceries, they discovered in the back of the freezer that same old tin full again of Mom's oatmeal chocolate chip cookies. A piece of masking tape on the lid had their names on it in Mother's handwriting with the date. And the date on the masking tape showed that Mom had made this, her last batch of oatmeal chocolate chip cookies, just about 2 months before she was completely bedridden, and then a few weeks later died. Knowing that death would take her from their presence before the cabin was open for the spring, she had baked these cookies and had arranged for someone to take that tin out to the freezer in the family cabin before her sons got there. She knew she would not be around to talk with her sons over the phone and to hear them say, thanks again, Mother. The cookies were wonderful as always. But that was not going to keep her from giving one last parting gift to her sons, a gift that they could enjoy and share even after her departure. She did not do that for the praise nor the thanks, nor for the love that she would get, but out of love for her sons in a future that she would not be there to share with them physically. And in that way, in that kind of expression of love, you could say, however, that she was still there some way during that week with her sons together on the island. With every bite of those cookies, you could say that the brothers maybe experienced something of Mom's love and maybe, just maybe, felt a little less like orphans in this world. The surprise that Mom pulled on her sons is a bit like the love of which Jesus speaks in today's passage. God has shown us a love that will not abandon us, not even to death, but a love that sticks with us First, by coming to us in Jesus, and again, ever coming to us and abiding in us through His Holy Spirit. And we return this wondrous, virtuous cycle of love by accepting and receiving it, and by following and obeying Jesus. Amen.
In the blue book, number 544, and please stand if you're able.
Bum, 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 bum. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our calling doth richly repay. Not a
To begin our sharing and prayer, I want to first share my gratitude of welcoming back Craig and Jana from a week of well-deserved vacation. Glad to have you back, and hope there was a time of refreshment and encouragement for you. We've missed you and glad you're back. I also want to share a prayer request that came to me this morning on behalf of Leroy and all of Carnegie, who are not with us today because both ended up being taken to the hospital in Salem yesterday. Olive is staying there until probably tomorrow when she might go to rehab in at Hope Village. That's the expectation so far. She simply was not getting out of bed, and they think there are some cracks in her back and such that have made it painful for her to move around. But in taking care of Olive, Leroy fell and got a brief head injury. He's back home, but he's staying home until that's all cleared up as well. So please keep them in your prayers. Another thing that's sort of on my heart that's related to the announcement I made earlier, I'm just wondering if there's any news on whether there is a middle school youth sponsor yet. I know, Mary, do you know? That's important. That's an important stage of life, and I would encourage us to be praying about that. If you've had some inkling that says, you know, I think maybe I would enjoy working with middle school youth or could do something with them twice a month on a Sunday evening, please be praying and thinking about that. That's a very important stage of life. Let's keep that in mind. Any prayer concerns, requests, testimonies, or reflections that you might have, especially on this Mother Day? You know, my only Ken, when you asked us to repeat with our about how awesome our moms made us to be, I should ask my mom about that today when I get her call. What would our mom say? Okay. But what prayer requests or testimonies might you have for our prayers today and this week? Kathy.
I just wanted to let you know that Mark was admitted into the hospital in Silverton on Wednesday night, and the beds all at the Silverton Hospital were filled with a lot of really sick people, so they transported him to Meridian Park with an ambulance, where he stayed for another 6 hours and was released to come home. And I would just like you to pray for him. They say everything on the test, because when Mark went in, Mark thought he was having a heart attack. And they admitted him, got him right in there just really quick. But they think it's a virus. And there was a lot of really sick people in the emergency room, and the staff made me wear a mask and gave me a bottle of hand sanitizer just to go into the emergency with all the sick people. And Mark's doing well. Prayers have all been answered. He's good. We're good. Everything's good. So in that way, I'm very thankful. But I wanted to let you guys all know, take that extra step, because it's not good. And please pray for Mark.
Thank you for Mark and his continued recovery. Yes, thank you. Any other cares or testimonies or reflections? Well, I invite you to join me in prayer, that we'll close with the Lord's Prayer together, but also a few times of silence for our own reflection. Let's again begin with silence to prepare for prayer and to pray. Let's pray. Lord, yes, still and quiet our hearts before you, that our souls and spirits might become like reflecting pools, that in their peaceableness, in their openness to you, reflect you as well to the world. And Lord, as the still and quiet, may there rise up as well our prayers of gratitude, simply for the gift of existence, simply for the gift of being here, for the gift of those relationships and those loves, however imperfect, have given us not only a quantity of life, but a quality of life that is a picture yet of that life you offer. Bring forth, O God, in our hearts, even now in this moment of quiet, other prayers of gratitude as we acknowledge blessings, such as Mark's own recovery and restoration to health. Hear our other prayers of gratitude as we lift them up. We love, Lord, because you first loved us. And we thank you for the love that we have known, whether home, family, friends, parents, marriages, brothers and sisters, the church. Again, and with that love, motivate us and equip us to share and to show that love. Hear as well, O Lord, the cares and the concerns that we bring to you for a persecuted church worldwide. O God, for a church and a world in poverty and so often in conflict, we are one body with them all. For Leroy and Olive, that the doctors and nurses working with them and their family members, you would sustain them, plus also that you would bless and strengthen them with the assurance of your love with them and in them and for them, come what may. And Lord, that you would bring forth middle school youth workers. And we thank you for Joel and Irina, who have worked for them for 4 years at least. We pray that you would bring forth others. And Lord, as we rest and wait before you, hear the other prayers and concerns that are on our heart for people whom you know, and so do we. And for our ministry partners here and around the world, such as Hope Village, O Lord, for Bridging Cultures, Canby, for the ESL classes, for our partners in the Hispanic churches and in the conference, we pray, O God, knowing that we are one body with them, for our partners overseas, for Raul and Megan Gomez, working with our little brothers in Honduras, O Lord, for Pastor Fabe and the church, its Bible Translation Project in Burkina Faso, for Vida Feliz, the Senior Center in Bolivia, and others with whom we are connected, we pray. And for students this summer who are leaving summer classes, moving into summer jobs, or discerning what their next step is, we pray your touch of blessing and of guidance and encouragement upon them. May these experiences form in them even more the character and the will of Christ. For that is what you pray for us, Lord, in the very words that you taught us, and that we share with the church in all times and ages whenever we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please turn in the blue book to number 430, God Be With You. We'll sing verses 1 and 2. And please stand if you're able and remain standing for the benediction.
Come, 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 come.
Verses 1 and 2.
God be with you till we meet again.
As we are loved, so we must love all people. Go in peace.